Galatians chapter 6, commencing verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Golliher, calling all Canadians back to the Bible, because Christian joy is based on the written Word of God, the Bible. John the Apostle wrote three letters, as well as his gospel narrative. In the first chapter of the first epistle, John stated, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Christianity is synonymous with joy. Misery and Christianity are strangers. That's not to say there are not miserable people who claim to be Christians, but they are not good advertisements for Christianity. A miserable man or woman may be a Christian, but he or she is a bad Christian. They are not living in the fullness of the blessing of what the gospel of Christ offers to believers in the victory of the Lord Jesus. The things that John wrote will lead his readers into great joy, because it tells us that the Christian gospel is true. John wrote of what he himself had seen and touched. This was his own personal testimony of the Savior. John knew the Lord Jesus. He spent time with him. John was the beloved disciple who was very close to the Lord. John also saw Christ in the flesh after he was risen from the dead, and he saw the Lord ascend into the clouds of glory with his own eyes. John's testimony of the Lord Jesus was very real and therefore very powerful. And this brings joy to us, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus is not a figment of the imagination or some weird mystery. The Lord Jesus is the true and living Savior. John was nothing more than a reporter of the things that he himself had witnessed. So, with these words, he started off his letter known as 1 John. So anyone who wants to know more of the truth of the living Lord Jesus will want to take on board this testimony of John in his epistle. And as we do, we rejoice in this testimony. To John, and therefore to us, the gospel is real. It is founded on solid ground and will stand the test of any investigation. The Christian has nothing to fear from looking at the facts of his or her faith. The truth of Jesus' person, life and resurrection is like a gold digger going into the mine, knowing that the vein of gold is all there. The miner has seen it and handled it and will report it with great excitement. This is the Christian's joy too, for Jesus is real. Also, there is joy because believers in the gospel will enjoy personal fellowship with the Father and the Son. John wrote of the joy that believers have in fellowship with the Father and with his Son. This is uniquely Christian and is uniquely revealed in the Bible. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus, as the living Savior. Sin separates from God, but the gospel reunites sinners to a holy God. Christians are no longer fugitives on the run from God as Adam in the Garden of Eden after he had sinned. Christians are reconciled through the life and death of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. John wrote of this too in his first epistle. John wrote these things so that readers would have the joy of sins forgiven. This is the greatest blessing that you can know. To have your sins totally put away, never to accuse you before God or to trouble your conscience, is the greatest joy. So please listen to what the Apostle John wrote. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You don't get that from a psychologist, nor from a social worker, who may try to minister to the depressed soul. Such so-called professionals cannot address the guilty conscience that feels the weight of sin burdening the heart. But in the Bible, you have this tremendous news that Christ is real. Christ died for sinners, and he is alive to pardon you on the basis of his blood. Hear John's words, "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." That brings joy unspeakable to every believer in Christ. It means that the sacrifice that Jesus offered on the cross has purchased full and free pardon from all your sins for all time and eternity. Christians do not sing that they have never sinned. That would be a lie. Rather, Christians sing that their sins are pardoned. The gospel is the answer to sin. They praise the Lord day and night that there is nothing between their souls and the Savior. They have this blessed fellowship with the Father and the Son through the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. Christian fellowship is more than church meetings with other professing Christians. It is to know in your heart that God loves you, God has pardoned you, and God will never forsake you. And all of this is through the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son. Our fellowship with the Father is through the Son. Christians know Christ personally. They have believed on him and trusted him as their Savior and sin-bearer. The Lord Jesus and his work on the cross of Calvary as the sacrifice for sin is the source of great joy. Every time we hear these things and learn more of them, our hearts are thrilled. It is the real joy that comes from a real Jesus who really died and really rose again and now in a real body really reigns with the Father. And our fellowship is with him. This is the joy that the world cannot give, and praise God cannot take away. So back to your Bible to read about these things. They cannot become real to you while you are a stranger to the Bible. God leads us to faith and fellowship with himself through faith in the written word. The Bible is the primer for faith. It is the seedbed of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, I ask you to read this first chapter of 1 John. Read it every day for a week or a month. Memorize it, and God will speak to your heart. And I will pray you that you know this joy that John the Apostle yearned of for his readers. The joy of sins forgiven. That will put a hallelujah in your soul. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and once again, we bring to you the message of God's Word. I hope that you have been encouraged and that today you'll stay with us as we go to this text in Galatians 6:15. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the rallying cry of the born-again believer, of the one who is trusting in Calvary alone. We have nothing else, no other boast, no other claim. It is the only hope that is born within us. And I hope that today this will become your hope. So stay tuned as today we let the Bible speak.
I appropriate the cross when I keep the cross foremost in my worship. When I sing and pray of the personal cleansing of Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross. When you turn that cross work into your singing or your boasting, your rejoicing, and when you do so in your praying, you are receiving and taking that cross work to yourself, appropriating it personally. And with a sense of our own personal defilement, I go again to the cross and again to the cross to be washed. I come to church to boast. On the surface, that sounds wrong, to come to church to boast. But we're not boasting in our own pride. We're not boasting in our riches or our heritage or our nationality or our denomination. We're not boasting in men. We are boasting in the Redeemer who gave himself upon that cross for our salvation. And I appropriate the cross when I hide under it in hours of temptation. The cross is not just a token thing to the believer. It is a mighty weapon. It's a weapon that we wield when we are under temptation. Now, temptation is a real power against the Christian. The devil seeks to bring us down. He has many ways of deceiving and destroying. And the cross slays the lust within us. The cross slays deceit within us. It even puts to death laziness within us. And it stirs our hearts to rest in the victory of Calvary. And when you feel the power of temptation in your heart and in your life to follow the world and follow the ways of sin, run to the cross. Run to Calvary. Plead the victory of Jesus' work upon that tree. And say, Lord, save me from this temptation. Deliver me from its power by the victory of Jesus' death. I also appropriate the cross when I recommend it as a remedy to others. What do you say to the sorrowing? What do you say to the burdened sinner? What's your message to your family and friends when you see them struggling with the world and sin? Do you recommend to them the cross of Calvary and all that Jesus accomplished upon that tree? That's when you are making that cross to be your life, your testimony, and recommending it as a medicine to the souls of men. Now notice something as you look at this text today in chapter 6:14. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how the text ends. I want you to look at it. I want you to let this sink into your heart. by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm using the word assimilation. Now, there's a work going on in your life right now, and either you're being assimilated to fit into the world, or as a Christian, you're being assimilated to fit into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. The whole purpose of salvation is that we be conformed into the image of the Lord. And it's either one or the other. And as you give up your life to the Lord, as you look to the cross, it will assimilate you into the likeness of the Lord Jesus and away from the world. You can see here that Paul says, by whom the world is crucified unto me. And so by this means, the world dies to me. And when the world rejects me as one of them, then I am a man of the cross. When the world says, you don't fit in with our worldly agenda, then you're a man or woman of the cross. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. When I am counted as too narrow for the world, then I am a man of the cross. When my agenda, living for Jesus, no longer suits the world, then I am crucified unto it, and the world is crucified unto me. When I am counted too boastful about salvation by the work of the cross, then I'm a man of the cross. When others are offended by my boasting and telling the story of Jesus' death upon that tree, I think of Paul and Silas on that night when they were in prison, and at midnight they were singing praises unto God. What faith, what hope was in their hearts as they rested in the Lord Jesus. And as you put your trust in the Lord and love Him with all your heart, the love of the world will go out. I read of a young mother who, before she was married, loved society. She loved the outings, the events, the occasions to dress up. And in early time of marriage, she and her husband would continue on, and they delighted in society. But then came along their first child, a little baby. And as a new mother, with her love upon that newborn child, she had no longer any interest in going outside the home for the gaiety and the society of life. The birth of that infant and her love for that child changed her attitude to the world. She had something better. And when you have the Lord Jesus in your heart, when you come to the cross and find its cleansing, saving power, the world loses its power. And you want only to live for Jesus, not just out of rules, regulations, and laws, but out of love. The Savior will have won your heart. He changes you into a loyal disciple of the Lord Jesus. Another example of this is found in the story of a science student. And he tells the story that in the chemistry class, we learned how acids act on different substances. In the course of our experiment, the professor gave us a bit of gold and told us to dissolve it. We left it all night in the strongest acid we had and tried combinations of acids, then finally told him we thought gold could not be dissolved. And so he smiled. "I knew that you could not dissolve gold," he said. "None of the acids you have will attack it. But try this." And he handed us a bottle labeled nitromuriatic acid. We poured some of its contents into the tube that held the piece of gold, and the gold that had resisted so easily all the other acids quickly disappeared in the royal water. The gold at last had found its master. The next day in the classroom, the professor asked, "Do you know why it is called royal water?" "Yes," we replied, "it is because it is the master of gold, which can resist almost anything else that can be poured on it." Then he said, "Boys, it will not hurt the lesson today if we take time to tell you that there is one other substance that is just as impervious as gold. It cannot be touched or changed, though 100 attempts are made upon it. The substance is the sinful heart. Trial and afflictions, riches and honor, imprisonment and punishment will not soften or master it. Education, culture will not dissolve and purify it. There is but one element that has power over it, the blood of Christ to cleanse from sin. And that's the gospel. The thing that changes the heart, the thing that gets mastery over our sins, it's not religion, it's not ceremony. And Paul was advocating, it's not Judaism or circumcision. It is the cross of Christ, and God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so we must ask, do you want victory over the world? Do you really want mastery over sin? Do you want to put away those things that are sinful, shameful, and taking you to hell? Do you really want to be a new person and to walk a new walk and talk a new talk? Do you want to be a Christian that is blood washed, that is loyal to the cross, that has victory in your soul? Then come to the cross. And God forbid that I should advocate any other way of salvation for your soul. That's the message of the cross today. And we as Christians, as we come to this communion feast, as we take the elements of the cup and the bread, we are glorying in the cross as the way by which God, in His wisdom, opened up the way to heaven. It is the way by which Jesus took our place, became our sacrifice, our substitute, our Savior, and laid down His life that He might remove the curse to set us free. That's what we're glorying in today as we come to remember this wonderful event of Calvary. As our hymn today said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most I sacrifice them to his blood. What about it? There's someone here today and you're not saved. You've never come to the cross. You've got the history of it, but you don't enter into the good news, the gospel of it. You've never bowed the knee to Jesus. Therefore, how can you take the cup and bread to remember the one that you reject in your heart? But we want you to come. I bid you today to come. Believe. Come to the cross. And you may say, but is there not some other way? Absolutely no. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross. And so, I bid you to believe today and be saved. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and he will save you even now. Let's unite in prayer, please. Father, we ask thee to bless this weak little message. We don't boast in our preaching. We don't boast in our sermons. We don't boast in our abilities. We boast in that redeeming work, that blood atonement that Jesus offered on that tree. And as we remember your death today, as we take the cup and the bread today, fill us full of faith. Take away unbelief. Take away every lie of the devil from our hearts. Take away every confidence in the flesh. And let us only rest in the grace, God's riches, at Christ's expense, when he laid down his life upon that tree. O Lord, meet with us around this table. Make it a hallowed time. We ask and pray in our Savior's name.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, call me free of charge from anywhere in Canada at 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.